Hi, my name is JR, and I want to welcome you to Online Church here at Open Arms, and I hope you all had a good week, especially for our students, you know, midterm break this week. Thank you, Lord, and, you know, especially for our very brave parents, you know, for being model teachers during this whole lockdown season. But yeah, I think we all needed that break. So I hope you're having a great week, especially this weekend. You know, and you know, you kind of wonder, we've been in lockdown, we've had these breaks here and there, and you kind of wonder, you know, it's been a year now, hasn't it? Almost a year since COVID hit Irish shores. And, you know, I think by this time, a lot of us would have thought that this would have been over by now, or maybe there's a plan. And clearly, there still is a lot of uncertainty. You know, it's great that we've had news for our leaving students. Thank you, Lord. You know, for the government trying to sort that out. But, you know, even the other stuff, the kind of simple stuff that we're used to doing socially, you know, will we have barbecues this summer? Will I go on holidays? I know not outside of the country, but will we be able to travel around Ireland? Will we be able to visit our grandparents? When is it time to visit Nana and the folks that we love that are in nursing homes and that are in care facilities? We kind of wonder. And you know, with a lot of these questions, we don't have the answers. You know, we still don't have the answers. And like many others, 2020 was a really challenging year for me and my family. Besides being on the front line swabbing potential patients in nursing homes for COVID, I went through a number of kind of personal battles, personal lows and struggles, and it impacted almost every area of my life. And you know, it's amusing to look back at it now. Because, you know, it all kind of started after I preached, you know, my first online message about surrendering everything to God. You know, I still remember that sermon, and I was on fire. I felt really good. And then after, you know, a few weeks after that Sunday, I do remember I was met by, you know, problem after problem, disappointment after disappointment. And it just, there was this flurry of circumstances, and I couldn't believe that this was all happening to me and my family in such a short span of time, you know? And after that initial flurry, we then struggled for the next few months trying to recover, you know, financially, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And the emotional and mental pain, I thought, was quite constant, that to a point where I became indifferent, I became disinterested, and I just, you know, hit a certain wall. I just kind of thought, what's going on? And my relationship with God then became this one-sided dialogue, you know, with me playing the main role of victim, antagonist, and hero. You know, I would have these conversations. Lord, I did this. Where were you? I mean, Lord, I've been trying to serve you as much as I can, and I'm not getting your support. You know, I went through this dialogue, these series of questions, and I just kind of thought, what is going on? But you know, one thing, which is so amazing, is that God never gave up on me. He never gave up on me. And he would constantly whisper in that still, small voice that we all know and remind me of truths and promises I had obviously misplaced, you know? So today I'd like to share with you what God taught me personally during that season where I was going through these battles, that season where I was going through extreme challenges. And it's helped me through this pandemic, you know? I know you're probably sick of hearing, what do we do in this pandemic? Oh, what do we do? But yeah, you know, and the thing is, like, this COVID thing is here to stay. And we have to, you know, come up with a way to actually lift beyond that. And the only way is through God. And I'd like to share with you what he taught me during that season. So the title of my message is How to Get Through This Paindemic. Okay, you see what I did there, that bit of pun? Okay, how do we get through this paindemic? Because it is painful, you know, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. I mean, there's all sorts of things going on. So, yeah. So three things I learned, okay? Three things I learned during that season that God taught me was the first thing is that I saw his discipline. I saw God's discipline. You know, it says in Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves and chastises every son whom he has received. You know, first of all, look, I want to say this cautiously and sincerely, that it is wise in every hardship to search our hearts for carelessness or maybe sins that may account for God allowing certain situations to happen. Like I said, I say it cautiously and sincerely, that we have to ask those questions when hardships do fall on us. We have to ask, is there something that God is trying to teach me? Is there something that I haven't learned? And that's why this is still happening, you know? Questions should be asked in a disciplinary moment where God has allowed hard times to fall upon us. You know, for example, you may be overwhelmed by the amount of bills and expenses and payables that you have to manage, and you're struggling financially. You know, some of these questions could be, you know, am I spending wisely? Am I living within my limits? Living within my means? Have I committed my finances to God? I mean, these are the questions. But then at times answer back, oh, but JR, you don't understand. You don't understand. I just needed those 200 euro pair of shoes to match that purple shirt and those green neon jeans, you know? Yeah, we come up with these answers, these irrational answers at times. But yeah, we have to ask those questions when we go through things. Or maybe you've been experiencing health issues and maybe physically you're not feeling well. You have to ask those questions. Am I eating right? Am I keeping to a good diet, a balanced diet? Am I exercising? Am I getting enough sleep? You know? And then once again, we come up with these answers. Oh, but look, JR, you know, I just needed that last piece of cheesecake at 2 a.m. to get me through that Netflix series I've been spending so much time on. You know? And yeah, but look, it's important to analyze our situations and ask those relevant questions, because just maybe, God is simply forcing you into this troubled time to be more reliant, to be more heavily dependent on him and his sovereign grace in your situation. Let's ask ourselves those questions, because maybe God is trying to teach us something in terms of trying to look at that discipline. But look, you know, not all pain and suffering is because of sin. You know, it's not because of sin that you're being disciplined for. Because in Hebrews 5, verse 8, it says, Jesus was the Son of God, but he still suffered. And through his suffering, he learned to obey whatever God says. See, Jesus never sinned, but yet he went through that pain and suffering since he was born. Even Jesus learned obedience through suffering, and he never sinned. You know, from the day he was born, Jesus went through life experiences just like everybody else. And that included pain and suffering. The key thing, though, is that Jesus knew he had to go through it, because he knew those trials, that suffering through life experiences was going to prepare him for his ministry, and eventually to the cross, and yes, for the redemption of all mankind. Jesus went through that because he knew what was going to happen anyway. But take, for example, another person. Job is another example. Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, there was a man named Job who lived in the country of Uz. He was a good, honest man. He respected God and refused to do evil. This is the description of Job and how he lived. Yet we know what happened next. You know, God allowed pain and suffering to show Satan, to show the accuser that Satan's accusations towards Job were false. And you know how Job reacted? Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 22, it says, at this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Job surrendered his situation, put his trust in God, and praised the Almighty. And you know, after the whole ordeal, everything that Job lost, you know, God blessed him back. You know, everything was restored. But the other thing was that, you know, Job didn't just get everything back. He discovered something about himself that only pain and suffering would expose. Humility, the pride that he had. But it also showed him truths about God he never knew, because there was that dialogue between him and God. And yes, he came to a point where he said, I shouldn't have been asking. He found out truths that he never knew before. So during this season of difficulty, the monotony, and just the weariness of what the season is, you know, let's consider that this season of difficulty, whatever it may be for you, it may be an opportunity to learn from God's discipline. So yeah, that's one of the first things I learned during that season of challenging circumstances for me, was that I learned about his discipline. I knew God was trying to teach me something that I just kind of pushed aside and just went on with my life. You know, he showed me and exposed it that I wasn't actually doing this bit, you know? So yeah, let's learn from his discipline. Second, I was reminded that I am not the center of the universe. God is. Yes. Let me say that again. We are not the center of the universe or this world. God is. It's not about me. It's about God. You know, and I'd like to read a few verses. And I want to see if you notice something about these verses, okay? There's a number of verses here. So just see if you could catch up with me. Psalm 135, verse 5 and 6. It says, I know the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, it says, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 11. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. Proverbs 16, verse 33, that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Matthew 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground except from the Father. Meaning, like, God knows everything. You know, God knows everything. James 4, verse 15, it says, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Okay? Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in the minds of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Man. Are you getting the point? Is it becoming more obvious? Did you notice something? All these verses point to God, point to his control, point to his sovereignty. And there are a lot more verses in the Bible that actually say the same thing. As much as we want to focus everything on us, that we are the center of this world, I control my life and all this, it isn't about us. It is about God. Another verse, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, even the universe declares that the universe, that this world is about God. It gives praise and glory to God. You know, if Earth is the only inhabited planet and us human beings as the only rational beings among the stars, then why is it such a large, you know, empty universe? You know, why? You know what the answer is? Because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about God. God designed it that way. God designed it that way. And you know, that's, I'd say that's an understatement. It's such an understatement. Because God, you know, created us to know him so that we can love him and show him to others. You know, and then God created the universe to give us a hint of what he's like. Indescribable and limitless. That is who our God is. And you know, as I shared earlier, you know, I was going through that really rough season like everybody else in 2020 and up to 2021. But I do remember one of the days after a really long, grumpy day for me, you know, towards the afternoon, I was heading home. And I needed a vent. So I got into the car and I needed a vent. And God was beside me. He was the only option I had there, you know. And you know, I spent that whole journey expressing an entire grocery list of complaints. You know, and it says in the Bible that we're to offer our petitions to God. So I kind of thought, yeah, okay, I'm going to double up my offering. You know, I'm going to supersize my offering to God, basically my complaints. You know, so I poured out my heart, which became a 30-minute complainathon, you know? Yeah, that's another word I invented, a complainathon. And as I approached our driveway, I was about to, you know, park the car. I ended my outburst with a sigh. There you go. Rather than, you know, amen, praise God, you know? I ended up, there you go, Lord, you know? And after that, you know, I sat in the car, bit embarrassed about my attitude, and I remember just one thought that flooded my head. It's not about you. It's not about you. And the thought was so loud and clear that I knew it was God, you know? And look, you know, at that time, I'll be honest, they weren't words I wanted to hear. You know, look, I was complaining. I was giving, look, this is what I need to happen, Lord. And you tell me it's not about me. You know, they weren't the words I was expecting, although it was called for, you know. And God was reminding me that all my complaints and my concerns, all my grumpiness was centered on one person. Yes, me. Me, you know. And once again, that still small voice, it's not about you. And God seemed to say this repeatedly, you know, over the next few weeks, you know, over the next few weeks, I couldn't get this thought out of my head. And every time I wanted to go on my rant, it's not about you. It's not about you. And you know, and I sense, you know, a conviction and an invitation from the Holy Spirit to change my attitude and my behavior. And yes, you know, I repented for becoming so self-focused. You know, I began praying. I began changing my prayer. I began, shifting complaints into prayer of seeking God. And I started praying to God, Lord, God, help me see what you see. Help me feel what you feel, Lord. You know, and you know, this truth is so simple, yet so foundational and so easy to forget. because whenever we slip into that mindset or that attitude that it's about us and look, poor me, look, Lord, what are you going to do about me? You know, We become part of the problem and not part of the solution. So, maybe these difficulties that you're facing, maybe there are conflicts within your family, your workplace, or whatever it is. Could it be that God is using these circumstances as a gentle reminder that, look, whatever is going on is not about you, but about God? Because circumstances, pain, and suffering is actually, God uses it to realign our vision towards His. That's what happened to Job. He thought he was doing everything right. But then after pain, going through that pain and suffering and that dialogue, he realized, God, yeah, I shouldn't be asking these questions. Yeah. How could I fathom how you created the universe? How could I fathom everything that you've done? Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. That focus should shift because we are not the center of the universe. God is. God is. And the third thing, the last thing that I learned during that season is that a heart in sync will get you through. What do I mean about this? A heart that is in sync with God's heart will get us through anything, I believe. Because it says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7 to 10, it says, at the time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Verse 8, were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Verse 9, the key verse. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. A heart that is in sync with God. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on, you will be at war. It says that when our hearts are committed to God, when our hearts are in sync with God's heart, he will strengthen us. He will strengthen us. You know? A heart in sync will get us through the most difficult of times. Why? Because Scripture says God's there to support us, to strengthen us, to lift us up. You know, it's interesting that it didn't say that God's going to take away the situation or remove whatever that hindrance is. It said that whatever you go through, he's going to be there to strengthen you and me. Psalm 73, verse 26, it says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, tuning our hearts to God empowers us. You know, he promises to protect us and to strengthen us through his word every day. And when we stop relying on ourselves, on others, we then realize that God has always been there paving the way for us. And then, you know, when we realize what he's done, we then relinquish control and trust in him. And also trust in ourselves. Because we realize then that, look, I could actually do this because God's got my back. He's here to lift my hands and lift my spirits when I'm going through tough times. But our hearts need to be in sync, need to be committed to God. What else? When our hearts are in sync with God, we start valuing the right things. Matthew 6, verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You know, sometimes we get so wrapped up in this world, we begin to see our things, our possessions, our wages as the primary indicator of our worth. And see, God shows us that really isn't your worth. You're worth more to me than what you think you do, you know? That's why he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us. That's how much we're worth. And then we'll realize that where we end up in eternity is one of the most important things because we get to be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. We value the right things. When we give our hearts to God, we begin to value relationships that build us rather than break us. You know, and that's not just your own personal relationships, but even your relationships within social media. Who do you follow? Why do you follow them? You start to realize, well, maybe that social media relationship or whatever that is, isn't really for me. We start valuing the right things. We start to see the value of our own personalities and our impact on people, our connectivity with others and in our community, that, yeah, I could actually do something. Yeah, you start valuing yourself because God values you, you know? And that really only happens when our hearts are in tune with God's heart. We see what His heart is all about, you know? Another thing is that when our hearts are in sync, we find peace. Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." When you give your heart to God, you stop worrying about all the other stuff. All the other stuff that you can't control. You slow down, you begin to trust, and you let the little things just, you know, roll on by. You know that your heart is in a safe place because God has got you and He's comforting you. And we then realize that God's never going to leave me. We start realizing that we can put our trust in God even when things go wrong, even when we make mistakes. You know, we find peace. We find that security and that calmness because God has us. But yeah, that only really happens when we start to tune in to what God wants for us. A heart that is in tune with God. You know, David is called a man after God's own heart. And he did stuff that we wouldn't do today, you know? But yet, even through those mistakes and those trials, like he was at peace. He knew God had him and had his back. And he knew he could always come back to God. And when you realize that truth, you find peace. The pressure is off because we know God loves us no matter what. And yeah, we also find true happiness. Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." The key thing there is it says, take delight in the Lord. Realize the joy that you have in God, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But what happens is your heart then changes because it then becomes in sync with His, and we start loving what He loves. And you know who God loves? He loves us. You start loving yourself. He loves people. You start loving others. True happiness. All this other stuff doesn't matter anymore. Happiness is not built on gifts and the stuff that we accumulate, but it's built on what we have in God. And what we have in God is a lot. True love in God. You know? So when you give your heart to God, you then become satisfied with all that He provides. Even the stuff that we think we need, He provides something else, and we realize, well, actually, that's better. We find true happiness. You know? So yeah, those are my three things. Those are my three things that I've learned during that season. And I've carried these three things. Now, they may be different versions of it, you know, but I've used these three things to remind me that when I start going through that season again or those episodes again, I got to go back to these truths. And they've helped me and my family through tough times. So yeah, just to summarize, let's learn from His discipline, number one. Let's realize that we are not the center of this universe. God is. And thirdly, you know, a heart that is committed to God, a heart that is in sync with God will get us through because God then strengthens us. So these truths have been guiding me and my family through this, you know, pandemic. And look, you know, we're still going through stuff. I mean, situations are still there. But I do believe that, you know, my heart and my attitude have changed because God has changed it, you know? And I feel that my relationship with God has gotten stronger and I've become more reliant, you know? So those complain-a-thons, they've minimized, you know? I still have those conversations with God, but those truths are a constant reminder to me, and it's really helped me, and I hope they help you as well. So yes, I pray that these truths will guide you and strengthen you during this pandemic. So yeah, I hope this message has helped you, and I hope it's strengthened you, and I just want to pray for you. All of you out there that have joined us for online church here in Open Arms. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much. First of all, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for circumstances, even the painful ones. I know it's hard to say these words, but we know, Lord, you've allowed these things to happen so that we may be dependent on you. Maybe there's things in our lives that we need to change, and these are just like reminders of how to get there. Help us, Lord, to realize and learn from your discipline. We thank you, Lord, that we are not the center of the universe, and you are, that it is all about you, and it just takes the pressure off, that we could just focus on you. And yes, Lord, help us, Lord, to commit our hearts to you, because we know, Lord, that when we continue to seek you and follow you, is that you will always be there to strengthen us and to hold us up. So, Lord, once again, we thank you, Lord. I pray that you bless each one out there listening in to Open Arms here on Online Church. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So, yeah. So, once again, I thank you for joining us today here in Online Church here in Open Arms. If you have any prayer requests, or if you have any questions, or if you'd like to get involved or can get connected with our church, yes, please complete one of those connect cards on our website on openarms.ie. So once again, thank you so much for joining us. God bless.